It's time to plug in. Tech Talk, presented by Sumner One, the one place to talk about all things related to the ever-changing landscape of today's and tomorrow's technology.
That technology thing is certainly moving fast, isn't it, Biff?
Join the conversation. The phone lines are open. 1-888-550-KTRS. That's 1-888-550-5877. Now, Guy Phillips on KTRS.
Yeah, my wife... Oh, hi. Are we back on?
Yeah.
Just saying, I went to the doctor. He told me I needed to break a sweat once a day. And so I said, all right, I'll start lying to my wife.
Okay.
And that's, you know, that's how that came about.
How many calories does that burn off?
I don't know, but it's plenty
in
my case.
Depends on how bad the
lie is. Yeah, quite. That voice that you're hearing is the mellifluous tone of Jeff Groby. He's the lead engineer here at Sumner One, and this is your Tech Talk segment. If you have questions about your computers or about technology, we'd love to answer them for you right now at 314-969-KTRS, 1-888-550-KTRS, or from your cell, *KTRS. You can also get through, text us something, but by the time you got to us, we may be all gone. 884-126. Jeff, welcome back to the studio.
Thank you.
Good to see you. All right. I said, did you have any new tattoos this week?
No new tattoos.
He's not really covered in tattoos. He's just got a couple. Okay. He's a big Apple fan, as am I, by the way.
Well, your new one, I mean, it's so colorful that you can't miss that one. It's pretty.
Still healing a little bit, but it gets a lot of attention.
Yeah. You know, okay, we've got some calls coming in here, so want to grab these. Let's talk about that just for a second, okay? I love my computer, but I don't think I use it to its full potential. I really don't. So question for anybody who owns a PC or an Apple product. Where do we go for a primer or a refresher or, you know, to learn a little bit something different?
I would say nowadays YouTube is probably the best place to go to do anything. Just look up Mac OS primer or Windows 10 primer and
get some tips.
Yeah.
That's
almost all of the content is being flooded there.
Sure.
And you can find some really good stuff out there.
Sure. And for those of you who, and you're probably not caring about this, but so I had this Mac desktop, and the hard drive started making a kind of a noise like, I am going to be leaving you soon. And, you know, I had important information on there, financial stuff, pictures, all that kind of stuff. So I had an SSD drive installed. Why don't you tell people what that is?
Yeah, the SSD drive is basically flash drive. It's not a spinning drive as the traditional drives go. It's basically the same type of chips that use for memory in a computer. And they're basically there's no latency. So the access times for recording the data and reading the data back is zero latency. So they're very, very fast, and up until recently were very, very expensive, but now the price has actually come down quite a bit, and almost all new computers come with them.
Yeah, and when I put an SSD in my computer, the guy said, really, what you've done is you've taken your computer and you have made it less obsolete. You know, he said, you'll probably get another 5 to 7 years use out of it.
Absolutely. I have a 2011 iMac at home, and I put an SSD in it last summer, and I probably breathed another 3 years of life into it.
Wonderful. All right. Well, hey, so there are things you can do that are beneficial to you. So let's go to the phones. Who do we have?
Yeah, line one's Dave from Oakville.
Dave, welcome. You're talking to Jeff Groby. Oh, Jeff, you need headphones. Let him borrow. Hold on 1 second. Plug that in right there. We did a dumb thing. We let Jeff hang out here in the wind, just blowing. Okay, all right. It's Dave, you said, right? All right, Dave, go ahead. You're talking to Jeff.
Thank you. I have a question about using aftermarket toner cartridges in a color inkjet or a color laser printer. I've been using the aftermarket ones rather than the HP brand, and now I've got yellow streaks printing on every page, and I'm wondering if that has to do with aftermarket cartridges or if there's some cleaning that I can do that'll take care of that and the cartridges are fine.
There is some cleaning you can do here. You can get a canned air that they sell, the duster, and blow inside the internal workings of your laser printer, and typically blow, you know, any residual dust off. That being said, some of the aftermarket toners are sketchy at best. The manufacturer is going to tell you they want you to use, you know, the HP ones for an HP printer. So your mileage may vary here. You know, you never know how many times those cartridges have been refilled or refurbished or anything like that. So My suggestion would be go ahead and blow it out, and then start using the HP ones if you don't want to have that problem again.
All right. Do I need to pull the existing cartridges before I blow, or will it blow toner out of them in place?
I would take this outside and then use the can there outside so you don't get toner dust all over everything in your house and stain everything. So, I would just kind of break it down and do each piece.
Okay. Thank you.
Hey, and the good news is you're not leaving a magenta line across there. If you had to pick a line, that would probably be a good one. Good luck to you. Thanks for the call. I appreciate you listening to the show. It's Carl. Carl, welcome to the show. You're talking to Jeff Groby. Carl?
Uh-oh, line two.
Wait, is it funky line two?
Yep.
All right, hang on 1 second. Carl, I'm sorry about that. You with us now?
I am now, yeah.
All right. Well, actually, I should have said, are we with you now? Because you were there the whole time. You're talking to Jeff Groby from Sumner One.
Yeah, about a month ago, we had some storms blow through that we lost power at my apartment complex. And ever since then, I can't get my computer. And yes, I have a plug that plugs into it with a wire that goes to the wall. It's not one of those Wi-Fi things. I can't get it to recognize, all the safe sites, like my bank account or my banking site and everything, none of them seem to recognize my IP. Is that something with AT&T or is that something with my computer? Because they all say something about cookies. And I don't have any cookies, so I don't know what I'm supposed to do.
Well, you probably do have cookies without knowing it, yes, right?
Yeah. It sounds like maybe your browser, did your computer just turn off when the lightning strike occurred?
Yeah, all the power, the entire apartment. Yeah, it wasn't a lightning strike. I think it just was blowing through and blew down a line somewhere, and we lost power to the complex for about 3 hours. So everything was on start.
Would it matter if the computer was on at the time?
Yeah, it would matter. Mm-hmm. There's probably some corruption on your hard drive, especially the area where the browser stores the cookies for all the sites that you visit. That stores all of your information for the sites that you visit continually.
So the idea here, Carl, I think, is to get rid of all the cookies and maybe you can explain how that works.
Yeah,
Jeff.
I would just in this particular case, I would probably uninstall your browser and reinstall a fresh copy of it. If it's Mozilla, go to Mozilla. If it's Chrome, go to the Google site. And then that will probably refresh the folder that usually creates a new folder for you. And then you can, you can start going to those sites and it will start tracking your information correctly again.
All right. Well, now it also tells me that my Windows 7 is probably a bit out of date. Should I just dump the whole computer and start over?
Well, it depends on how old the hardware is. A lot of Windows 7 computers can be upgraded to Windows 10, and that would be the recommendation that I would give to you. But if the hardware is older than 3 to 5 years, I would definitely say buy a new computer at that point.
Oh, God, I've had this computer probably 9 to 10 years.
So. I would definitely say buy a new computer. Yeah, that would be my recommendation.
And you know something, the technology that is available now and the software that's available now, so much more superior than what you've got there. And the price of it, really, to be honest with you, Carl, worth the price of admission. I mean, you can get a good computer relatively inexpensively. Yep.
So if I get a new computer, I just plug it in and it then start going to the sites, or is there something I got to do to set up all my favorite sites again, or my bank and my bank, I guess, just go to those sites?
With Windows 10, if you buy a new computer, it will ask you during the installation process if you want to import your settings from an existing computer on the network, and it will try to pull over anything that's in good shape if there's no corruption, and you should be able to migrate your information from the old one to the new one.
Okay. I should have done this during back-to-school week and saved it.
Thank you, Carl. Good luck to you, okay?
Thanks.
All right, take care. I love that. You should have done it from back to school. All right, Sherry, who's on one, by the way?
Mike.
All right, Mike, welcome to the show. You're on with Jeff Groby.
Hey, how you doing? I appreciate you taking my call.
Sure.
I was calling for my folks. We're trying to remedy the product identification key for Microsoft, and it's a 25-digit characterization, and there's a sticker on the bottom of their computer, but every time we enter it, it won't unlock it. And we tried calling Microsoft, but we can't understand anyone that's speaking to us just from the dialect. Do you have any ideas for us?
I've been through this myself, and all I can tell you is persistence pays off. What I did was I finally just asked for somebody who spoke English that I didn't understand the accent. And once I asked that a few times when I called, I finally got through to somebody who spoke English with a very clear embellishment and was able to get it resolved. But, yeah, your only resolution right now is to speak to Microsoft.
Okay, that's where we were at. My parents are going to keep trying next week.
And Mike, let me tell you,
I appreciate you taking my call.
You bet. Okay, and let me just say that I did the exact same thing, and this is what happened to me. I had Word. And I put in that SSD, and I couldn't find my 25-digit code or whatever it is. And so I finally got so exasperated, I bought the new upgraded, version.
Oh,
so, yeah.
Man.
Yeah, so they get you coming and going. One more, and who is it?
Marianne.
Okay, Marianne, welcome to the show. How are you?
Hey, I'm fine, thanks. But I've got a problem with my email. All my incoming email goes directly to the trash folder. I can read it. I can move it to the inbox if I want to work on it later. I can file it, but everything goes to the trash.
Wow. First of all, who's your email from? Is it from
Yahoo?
It's from Yahoo.
Yeah.
Doing this. They're putting it in your trash and going Yahoo.
And what email client?
Problem.
What email client are you using?
Desktop.
So the built-in mail.
Nook. I look at it on my Nook also. So everything goes to the trash.
Even on your Nook?
Yep.
Then it sounds like something's corrupted online on your online profile. Do you ever use the web browser to log directly into Yahoo to read your email?
No.
I would log into the Yahoo site directly from a web browser, their mail client, and then go in and look at your configurations. It sounds like there's a filter or a rule set on the server side there that's redirecting your mail into the trash.
Hmm.
And that if you fix that, then it should show up fine in all of your clients that you use it.
How does something like that happen?
Well, you might have been hacked at some point along the way. Somebody might have actually phished you and got your credentials, or people attack Yahoo all the time. So, yeah, there's lots of things that could happen there. But that's definitely what it's sounding like at this point.
Hey, you know what? Get AOL because nobody gives a crap about AOL, and I got it, and nobody hacks me. They're like, AOL, it must be an old guy. Well, good luck with figuring it all out. Okay.
Thanks.
And thanks for listening to the show. Appreciate it. Okay. All right. So that's it. So real quickly, we want to talk a little bit today about cybersecurity tips in the workplace. So let's just go ahead and quickly say talk about employees and what they can do to mitigate that risk.
Yeah, basically, I just wanted to throw a few things out there that people that are, working in a small or medium-sized business office or also own a small or medium-sized business, there's a handful of things that you can do to protect yourself. One of them is you want to make sure that you have a firewall. We usually recommend subscription-based firewalls like SonicWall or something like that that pushes heuristics down to the firewall to watch for bad things coming across the interfaces. You want to run antivirus software, anti-malware software. You want to stay up to date, stay patched, the whole nine yards. And generally, you also want to have some type of policy for people using their personal devices on your network as well. And if you do those four things or so, you've really kind of set a good foundation for cybersecurity and making sure that you're going to have a secure environment.
Wonderful. Listen, Jeff, thanks for all your calls. We love getting the calls here. We'll do it next week at this time. If people need to get to you or find out more about Sumner One,
www.sumneronecom.
All right, very good. And I understand that you guys brought a little gift for our listeners today.
Yes, we did. We have three Cardinals tickets.
Whoa. All right, so three Cardinals tickets. Let's see. Are these $1,300 a piece? Are they? Let's see. Oh, these are $4,700 a piece. All
wow,
right, sounds good. Yeah,
high ticket item. Huh?
All right, so we got three Cardinal tickets, right? Get up to the microphone. You can. What's the game? Which game?
This is for Saturday's game.
Cincinnati.
We are playing Cincinnati.
Okay, that's tomorrow. So tomorrow's game. This is these are box seats, section 159. Seats 5, 6, and 7.
Mm-hmm.
There's three tickets, and so is like the boss from Sumner One coming sitting in that fourth seat, or
oh no, those are all for you.
All
nobody
right, fantastic.
Will watch you.
Okay, so
no Big Brothers here.
Sounds good. All right, give me a number between say 1 and 50.
How about 12?
12. All right, caller 12. There you go. You can win the Sumner One tickets, sit in their seats for the game. But please, if you want these tickets, make sure that you can go to the game, okay? Our number is 969-KTRS. That's 969-5877-1-888-550-5877. And star KTRS from your cell phone. Drive carefully, of course, if you are driving and trying to win these tickets. Caller 12, you got them.